meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to him, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I think what caught my eye at first was from Isaiah, where he writes, "So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations." And I just found that to be so true and so meaningful. You know, God causes everything. And we know that even in our collect, we pray that grant that this life, Jesus Christ, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives. In other words, God causes us to be enlightened if we accept it. God causes us to be righteous and joyful if we listen and if we pay attention. This gospel kind of can sound very confusing at first, but it's really not as bad. But I could be silly for doing this, but I'm going to try to just kind of go through five different points to explain it. In the first part of the first five verses, John is telling all about the eternal existence. You know, he wasn't created, he always has been with God the Father. And in fact, if we change the one word, the word, with the word Jesus, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So what we learn is that Jesus Christ is eternal, and how Jesus, alongside of God, it almost sounds like a Trinity sermon, but alongside of God, everything was created. Jesus Christ is not only our Savior and Redeemer, but he is our Creator along with God. And as we go along, we find out at the end of those first five verses that in him was life. In other words, Jesus Christ is life. And then John, the Gospel writer, goes on to say, and Jesus was the light. Jesus was the light of all people. And what John explains is that Jesus shines out in the darkness. Jesus shines out in all of creation, and Jesus cannot be overcome by sin, by dark, and by disobedience to God. So we know from those first lines that Jesus wins. God wins in the end. His will is not always done on earth because of sin. But God is going to win. God is the victor. And God does it. We know this by love. Always by love. And then we learn that John the Baptist was a part of God's plan. If we think about it, the verse says, there was a man sent from God. We don't hear that about, I don't think, anybody else in the Bible other than Jesus. John the Baptist was sent by God Almighty to prepare a way, to prepare a road for the people of that time and all times to be aware of Jesus Christ. And John accepted it, and he did it. He did God's will with great energy and with great faithfulness to God the Father and to his cousin Jesus. And he was very humble about it. He even explains, nope, I am not Jesus Christ. So the next part, what I'd like to say, the third part, is the section where it says, he was in the world and the world came into being through him, and here it comes. In other words, Jesus was in the world at that time, we knew. And Jesus created the world. But what do we learn? The world didn't know him. The world didn't accept him. Now, can you imagine? How about your own kids? You know, or some special friend, or a special relative. You do everything for them, and they just pretend that you don't exist. And they ignore your existence. That's what it was like. Jesus was in the world, and they didn't pay attention. They were preoccupied. They were distracted about every single thing. But even with that, even with not paying attention and not being faithful to God Almighty, what do we learn from the Gospel of John? We learn that no matter what, whoever receives him, no matter what we do wrong, how we sin, but if we receive Jesus, we become instantly the children of God, and nobody can take that away from us. Jesus gives power to become the children of God, and that's the good news, and that's one of the Christmas messages. And here it is, and the Word, and Jesus, became flesh and lived among us. We have a God that, in Greek times, a lot of them were capricious. They were like kind of whimsical. But Jesus Christ actually became who we are, who he created, so that he could relate to us 100% as a human being and as God, and so that we could relate to him 100% in all our joys and pains and griefs and sorrows, good times and bad times. And I found a paragraph that I thought really hit that on the nail. Christmas is not about the arrival of a new philosophy, nor of a new religion, but the arrival of a person who stands with me, a person who holds me and strengthens me with words and actions and sufferings, and that helps make sense of my life and can transform my life with a love which is stronger than death. Jesus is that for us. Jesus is with us every day. Jesus never fails, and Jesus will never leave us alone. And then also on the Feast of Transfiguration, we hear that Jesus is more important than Moses and Elijah from God Almighty, God the Father himself. Not that Moses isn't important and not that Elijah isn't important. But what does he say to the three, Peter and James and John? He said, listen to him, to my beloved. This is my beloved. I want you to listen to him. And who's standing? Jesus Christ alone. When the cloud goes away, no longer Moses isn't there, Elijah isn't there, only Jesus. So Moses is important. He gives us the Ten Commandments. But Jesus is most important. Because why? Jesus made God known to us. We only know God the Father through Jesus Christ. The very last verse. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. In all of Jesus' life, in all of his words, his actions, the way he teaches, the way he heals, the way he tried to guide everyone, including us, even now, Jesus reveals the true nature of God. And as children of God, we are Jesus' brothers and sisters. And it sounds easy, but all we have to do is to love God and nothing more, but nothing less. And when we love God, we're just as obedient as Jesus Christ. Not an easy thing to do, but because of Jesus and because of the power of the Holy Spirit and all that God has given us, we are able to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. But it's a choice. So this Christmas time, And every day, every time we wake up, we can say to ourselves, okay, I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be preoccupied by anything else. The first thing in the morning I want to do is praise God and thank God and love God and know what His will is for me each and every day. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We also look forward to his coming again. And we know that because of you, because of your love and your forgiveness and your strength, that when Jesus does come and pops through the clouds and says, I'm back, we can stand in front of him, in front of you, and be assured of being loved and accepted, and we can enter into your kingdom and not be ashamed, not be afraid, but know that we are loved as no other. In his name we pray.